I want to talk about your Mission Line for a minute, okay? But really, we don't have time. I'm just talking about very quickly, okay? We have to understand something. After the War of Independence, after the Milchamet Atzmaut, okay? So there was intense fighting. Even then, that war did not look like it was likely that we were going to come out with anything, but we were able to fight off the Arabs enough, and we were able to get a truce agreement. An armistice, okay? That armistice left us without Yerushalayim, without the old city of Yerushalayim, it left us without Hebron, and left us without Gush, all the Gush, the whole Gush, where I live, left us without all that area, okay? The country in its narrowest point was something like 9 or 19, I don't remember, miles wide. Tiny. Arabs on this side, Arabs on this side. 9 miles to stretch between the north of the country and the south of the country. That was the connection. Something that was extremely easy for the Arabs to just cut us off from the top part to the bottom part. Just cut off the country. Completely disrupt the entire continuity of bringing water and supplies from one half of the country to the other. It was impossible to defend this country. Impossible. The Arabs had us all sides, and we had a tiny little border. It was impossible. The borders were impossible to defend. And we didn't have the Mekomos HaKadoshim. We didn't have Kibbutz Racha. We didn't have Yerushalayim. We didn't have the Kotel. And that lasted for 19 years. That lasted until 1967. 1948 to 1967. It's 19 years. Okay? It's a very long time. Now, gentlemen, in 1967, without getting into all the history that happened, there's a lot of history there, it's really, really fascinating, but we're not going into all that. Let's just say, suffice it to say, that Egypt was the ringleader of the Arab world, and Anwar Sadat, and he, sorry, not Anwar Sadat, Jamal. Jamal, okay, he decided, he told everybody, we're going to wipe out this thing called Israel, this disease on the map, and we're going to wipe them out. And this is where that famous phrase came from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. It meant free of Jews, and it also meant, and this is also where the phrase was that they used to say was that we're going to push the Jews into the sea. The Jews are going to retreat into the sea. It was predicted. He got all the Arab states to come and join with them. See, so Egypt already had the largest army in the neighborhood. Then you had Jordan. Then you had Lebanon. You had Syria, and there were other nations also that sent in their arms and soldiers and everything. So you had Israel was facing armies on all sides of it, and it was desperate times. They were very vastly outnumbered, vastly outsupplied, extremely. It did not look good at all. It seemed looked very. It was a very, very tense time in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So much so that the army, gentlemen, the army had requisitioned all the playgrounds in Yerushalayim and other places. And they were taking out all the toys. Take out the playsets, take out the toys. And they were making them into mass graves. All the playgrounds were being turned, dug up, and made into mass graves. Because they were sure that there was going to be thousands and thousands of casualties, and that there's not going to be any room to bury them. And so they started digging up playgrounds in order to make cemeteries, graves, for soldiers and for civilians. They were sure it was going to be terrible civilian casualties. This was all leading up to the Six-Day War. What happened, Baruch Hashem, there was tremendous miracles that happened, things that you cannot explain. Okay, I'll just say a story which will just highlight the natural, the miraculous nature of what happened. There was a secular Jew who was learning in West Point, okay, West Point Academy, you guys know what that is? It's the most elite military academy in all of America. And there was a young secular Jew, not religious at all, and he was learning there, studying there. And they were going through modern warfare. It was a course in modern warfare. They were learning all the battles that happened and what you learned from them. And he got very upset at the instructor. He said to the instructor, why aren't we learning anything about the Six-Day War? That was an amazing military defeat. And the instructor said, there is nothing we can learn from the Six-Day War. It's impossible to learn anything from the Six-Day War. It was all miracles. Anybody who tries to repeat those tactics, anybody who would try to learn something and do something that they did in the Six-Day War and try to repeat it, would be an utter fool. None of that should have worked. It should have been a complete disaster. The fact that they won the war is a complete miracle. Complete miracle. There were miracles about miracles. And like we said before, this is a two-pronged miracle for us. Two-pronged. Number one, the fact that we even exist today as a nation in this country. And that not all the Jews were just wiped out and killed at that time that lived here is already the first miracle. That and alone, that in and of itself, would be enough to say hallelujah the brook. That in and of itself. But on top of that, all that we gained, it's mamish like the Purim story. It was like death on our doorstep and then humpa carrot. Adarab, but we got everything. We got Eretz Yisrael was tripled in size. We got the Sinai Peninsula, which we gave back. But we got Sinai Peninsula. We got Har Bayis. We got Eretz Kota. We got Hebron. We got Kibbutz Rachel. We got the Gush, where I live, the whole area that I live in. We got, because of this war, because of the Six-Day War, where we were on the brink of complete destruction and annihilation, and then we came out in 6 days, we came out with tremendous, like the opposite, tremendous bruch. Now, was there terrible casualties? There were terrible casualties. It was one of the most hardest hit wars that we had. A lot of soldiers died. We didn't get the Golan Heights in that war. The Golan Heights we got. So much miracles, so many miracles that happened to us during that war. So, of course, we say hello, and we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You guys have the schus to be sitting in your seats right here, only because of that. Only because of that. Because of the miracles that Hashem did for us on Yom Yerushalayim. So, Bezrat Hashem, guys, we should really take it in, take in the lesson, take in the day. Today is not really the day, really it's tomorrow, but tomorrow... We daven for Yerushalayim. We live in Yerushalayim. Because we don't realize how much besos that is. My great-grandmother came to Eretz Yisrael, like everybody came to Eretz Yisrael that year after that. They came to Eretz Yisrael and they were walking in the streets of Yisrael. It was like a dream. It was like living a dream. They're actually able to go to the hotel. That was unbelievable. We were born into a life where we take it for granted. Anytime we want to, we just hop on a jet and we come to Eretz Yisrael and we go visit the Kotel. We take it for granted. We take it for granted that we can come and live and learn for a year in the old city of Yerushalayim overlooking the Kotel. We take it for granted. But we have to not take it for granted. We have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles for us and thank Him for that. And try to take upon ourselves a little bit more, I don't know, learning something, being serious, something, on this day. Coming on to Shavuos, Bezrat Hashem, should be zochet to really live life the way it should be lived. Have the full Geula, Bezrat Hashem.